Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to start off this morning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. This isn't really getting into what we're going to get into, but this next section that we're going to talk about in James, there's some thoughts here that I was like, I'm not going to be able to explain all of this. This is a big subject matter, and I don't think that I fully understand, but and preparing. I feel like I understand the heart of God in this subject matter. I hope, and so I hope to kind of guide you through some of the thoughts that I had on it. But we're going to start in Matthew. You have heard that the ancients were told, "You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court." But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, "You good for nothing," shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, "You fool," shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. And then let's jump down to verse 27. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery," but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. This concept of who we are on the inside versus what we're guilty of to other people and from their perspective, I always thought it was kind of a New Testament idea. I mean, are you guys with me there? That, like, this is a new concept Jesus presents here. It was probably new to the people who heard him say it. But I think this idea, after some study, is something that was found in the Old Testament as well, the general idea. And that's why I brought it up here. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Starting in verse 9. This is the start of the section. I don't know. What does your guys' section say? Mine says sundry laws.
Various laws.
Yeah, okay, yeah, various laws. I thought, mine says sundry laws, and I didn't know what that meant. I think I did a 15-minute study on this to figure out that it just means, you know, random various laws. And then I was like, what a stupid heading. I'm like, really? They read this and they're like, yeah, it's just some laws. All right, sorry about that. Now, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of the field, nor shall you gather the gleanings from your harvest. Nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. And in case they were confused about who says this, it says, "I am the Lord your God," or "I am Yahweh, your God." You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of God. I am Yahweh. You shall not oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall revere your God. I am Yahweh. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor man, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. I'm going to stop right there real quick. We're not done with this passage, but this was my favorite verse in here. The idea of not being partial to the poor man there is, you shall not lift his head. basically bring him up to where he's not. And you shall not defer to or honor the great. And that sense of balance, it felt good in my stomach. You read some rules in the Bible, every once in a while I come across one that makes me feel at peace on the inside, and my tummy is just like really happy with what I just read. This was one of those where it's like, yes, that is impartiality. That's kind of what we're talking about in the book of James, not being partial, but looking at things as they are and being honest with it. And so, yeah. It's very important in current politics, you know, or the world around us. When I was young, I know a lot of older folks, they were really honoring of the people who were rich. One of the people that was the most influential in my life, that probably loved me the most as far as like caring for me. This one thing I have to say about her is that she knew some rich people that were kind of evil men, and she honored and looked up to them just because of the way, where they were financially. And that is something that back in the day was kind of a thing, like business owners, right? We're like, well, they own the business, so we deserve, you know, they deserve respect because of where they're at and their position, even while they were doing evil. And today we pendulum swing, didn't we? Like half of our country is like, oh, it's the poor person, they've been abused all their life, therefore we should give them preferential treatment and they're innocent automatically, and those who are doing well are guilty automatically because of their high position. But that is not God's standard. God's standard is you are doing right or you're doing wrong, no matter your position. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. Oh, there it is. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but you shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is found in James. Let's go to James. Chapter 2, starting in verse 8. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. So that you shall love your neighbor as yourself is referred to as the royal law here. And I think it encapsulates the heart of God. That's probably why it's referred to as the royal law. I don't know any specific reason, so I'm going to go with that. Because it really does, right? Even in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, we see the heart of God. And God is compassionate and full of loving kindness. And he loves and he wants us to love. The Ten Commandments are a prime example. Often we think of the law, the Old Testament law, as having been replaced, and to some extent it has, but most of it that's been replaced has to do with judgment. It has to do with sacrifices and the rituals that have to do with how we get right with God. But the heart of God has not changed. The Old Testament God is the God of the New Testament. Same God. Thought we'd go through the Ten Commandments real quick, right? Because what are the two, what's the greatest commandment? Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's right. So the actual Ten Commandments, first commandment, you guys know it? Anyone here go to my Sunday school class? Yeah, I'm the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. That one speaks to the greatest, right? Second, anybody? Huh? No. The actual Ten Commandments. Okay. The second is don't have any other gods and bow down to them. That's the Sunday school version. Third commandment, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Right? The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. A couple comments on that one. That one is also about God. Who is our Sabbath? Jesus is our Sabbath. In fact, I would often argue that even though we're not Sabbath keepers, you know, as far as the Sabbath day goes, if you're not keeping the Sabbath holy, if you're not keeping Jesus as holy in your life, you're not saved. That might be the most important of the Ten Commandments, and we don't talk about it much. But fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, right? That's starting to talk about the people around us, that we prioritize them and we love on them. And that starts with just giving honor to those who are positionally on this earth, placed above us. And so we respect them for that. Sixth commandment, do not murder. Do not steal. I almost got him confused. Do not murder. Again, it's about loving one another and treating one another right. Seventh, do not commit adultery. It's really hard to love your wife and commit adultery. Eight, do not steal. It's really hard to love your neighbor and take his stuff, right? Nine, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. And then 10, covet. I'm always confused about covet. It's almost like you can't, like it's the one that you do before you do the other ones, right? I covet somebody else's wife, so I commit adultery. I covet somebody's stuff, so I steal it. I covet somebody's great position and whatever, so I murder them. Anyways, so the Ten Commandments have not passed away, only the judgment that we receive for it. Let's keep going in James. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and convicted by the law as transgressors. Now, remember, James was referring to Leviticus and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you were paying attention to Leviticus, it mentioned a few of the other commandments too, kind of. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So, he's really stressing this idea that you ought to be keeping the law to some extent, right? To keeping the heart of God. And then he says, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over justice.
Judgment,
yes. Well, I do not read well today. Please forgive me. now this is the second law mentioned in this little passage here, the law of liberty, and before that it was the royal law. So what's this law of liberty? And it gives us a hint, for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Plus the law of liberty. Now, there was a tendency for me to go look at this and go, okay, so the law is that there is no law. It's a law of liberty, right? The rule is no rules. But I don't think so. there are two parts. There's a rule and there's liberty, and they're tied together here. And so I spent a little time thinking about this because he gives a warning right afterwards, right? That judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. That's a little bit of a warning and a hint. The law of liberty is also, by the way, mentioned in chapter 1. about who looks at the law, the one who looks at a law of liberty, and then, you know, doesn't abide by it. It's like one who looks in a mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. I think that's how it was placed. But those are pretty much the only real times, I think, that this concept was mentioned. But I wanted to look at John, the book of John, chapter 15, starting in verse 10. Now, this passage doesn't really give any direct hint as to what we're talking about as far as directly, but in meditating on this concept, this is kind of what came to my mind, and maybe you guys can follow me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Let me break that down real quick. Jesus made the Father happy by obeying his commandments, and if we obey Jesus' commandments, we make him happy. I think it's kind of, just to simplify it. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So then you ask, what is his commandment? And he says it, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. What did he command? Yes. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Love, liberty. No longer do I call you slaves, but friend. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. That is some liberty and freedom. This is my commandment, that you love one another.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that is the law of liberty, the royal law, that you love one another?
The law of liberty, I feel, is... So, okay, the law of liberty, my kind of, at least for now, my definition is, and... I shouldn't call it a definition, but the concept I think that is explained, that I'm trying to explain, is this, the liberty part. The liberty part is that Jesus freed us from the condemnation we deserve. So we receive the freedom, and that we love it, and that we are loved and supported. So we can walk through life without feeling indebted. We're free to act, and God supports us. So it's this freeing, this liberty to move forward. While the law part is that we forgive others as we have been forgiven. That's the other side, and that we love one another, just as he loved us. So it's two-sided. There is a rule, right? Because what does he say there in James? For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so there's this concept that God wants to show mercy, but we have to show mercy. And even in salvation, in the concept of salvation, we can see that almost every verse that talks about salvation, how you be saved, usually says something along the lines of, if you confess Jesus is Lord, which means master, boss, owner, right? Jesus is the boss, you will be saved. Or something along those lines. Or believe in the name of Jesus, And the concept of name even includes the concept of Jesus' position and authority, who he is, which again includes the concept of obeying Jesus. And then we know what Jesus wants us to do. We know that Jesus wants us to love one another. That is the condition he sets for us being obedient to him. You want to be obedient to God? Love one another. And so I have a tendency to tie those together. And so the law of liberty is basically that we're freed from the Old Testament condemnation that comes with messing up. And instead we're free to move forward and love one another. And when we fail to love one another, we're free to ask for forgiveness. Keep loving one another. And Jesus covered that. And we're not bogged down in this trying to sacrifice, or that sacrifice was really just a covering anyways. The law of liberty, the concept, is mentioned in other places a bit in the Bible. The first one to mention the law of liberty, I discovered I was doing some, because I didn't know where to go with this, and I was watching some videos. Anybody else do that? I love to watch videos. And this guy talked about it, and he said King David actually brought up the law of liberty in Psalms 119. And so I tried to look up Psalms 119 and found out that chapter 1 only has less than 19 verses, and I was really confused. But but it was 119. That was another 10 minutes wasted. If you have time at some point, read that. I kind of thought while I was reading that, I was like, it'd be cool to read that here, but that thing is long. It would take at least half an hour to read it right here for you guys, and it doesn't flow really nicely like some of the New Testament scripture, so it would have been hard for me to read. But it is an entire giant chapter or song where King David talks about how much he loves the law and the ordinance of God and the word of God, and what it does for him and who he is because of it. And it talks about the liberty that he has because of the law, and the knowledge of God he has because of the law, and the fact that he understands the world around him better than smarter people because he meditates on the law. And it just keeps going. And sometimes you get a little bit annoyed while reading it because, like, okay, are you done yet? And then there's a new nugget where you're like, oh, yeah, remember that feeling I talked about in the tummy? I was like, yes, I feel that. Great chapter. But there's the first time that I'm aware of that the scripture talks about the law of liberty. The law of liberty is not completely a New Testament concept. Even in the Old Testament, God talked about how he's a forgiving God, forgiving iniquity. And basically, God cares about his creation. That includes us. And he's forgiving with his creation and his people. And from the beginning, he was telling the Jews and some non-Jews. We know some scripture what wasn't even written to us. Job. Yeah, Job wasn't even a Jewish book, it seems like. But with all people, and since the beginning of time, God has sent out a message that is, if you go in the same direction I go, I will call you my friend, and I will forgive your sin. And the key is that we are to love one another. Yeah. And yeah. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Yeah. May we be merciful to one another. And we are out of time. Any comments and thoughts? We do have time for comments and thoughts. Did you want to follow up? You seem really engaged, and you seem like you want to correct me. This is the time to do it.
Because my eyes were open. Yeah. Well, in chapter 1, verse 25, he talks about the perfect law.
Uh-huh.
And then he says it's a law of liberty. And then in the section in chapter 2 that you talked about, it was the royal law and then the law of liberty. It sounds like he is using three different terms to talk about the same thing, which you said correctly, I believe, in John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I think that's, they all are kind of summed up there. Now, maybe that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but I'm a simplistic person. I don't like to get into all the nuances.
Yeah, no. I hear you.
We're supposed to love one another. So just because you part your hair in the middle, you know, I'm supposed to love you anyway.
Agreed. Michael.
Yeah, I really appreciate this lesson.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
Wonderful. And I know you spent a lot of time on it. Something I'd like to share is that I used to live in South Dakota, and they have miles of soybeans. And they take the harvester right up to the edges and even drive into the corners, back out, and make a turn to where they took all of it. And then I remember one of the guys that was a farmer around there complaining that there were no deer. And I said, well, of course, it's because you mowed down all your soybeans. They come and glean your field for you. But they took it all.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's not just loving the stranger, but it feeds you twice if you leave some stuff in the field.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's what that reminded me of.
Okay. Okay. Nice. I grew up in Germany, and it was common to walk by a field and grab an ear of corn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a sugar beet off the pile. I think that one was a bit more steely than grabbing an ear of corn. Right. As a Christian, that's always funny. You're hiking along, and you're like, what is okay and what's not okay? Because there's a lot of bounty right here. Yeah, that whole section, the sundry laws, again, stupid name, but in my humble, entirely unbiased opinion. But it keeps going there, and there's some laws where I'm like, these are a little goofy. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? And I think a lot of them were for the Jews, but a lot of this was also about trusting the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Don't clean your field and all of that. Like, that's what the other nations around them did, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, they're really worried that they have everything they can possibly get their hands on. They worked 7 days a week. They wouldn't leave anything behind. And he's telling the Jews, first of all, it's not caring. Because you have poor among you that don't have a field. Let them glean it. But also, don't you trust me? I'll take care of you. You know? Also, something that I thought about when it came to the field thing was the clothing giveaway, right? Like, every once in a while, I'm like, why am I holding on to this? Somebody could use this, and I'm hoarding it, right? That's what this is talking about. It's about hoarding that last little piece that... Really? You don't actually care about that piece? Give it up. And trust in the Lord that He'll take care of you.
It's a setup for the Book of Ruth coming up.
Yeah. Okay, we should close up. Lord God, when we look at some of these concepts in Scripture, the law of this or the law of that, sometimes it can confuse me, it can confuse folks, Lord, but you are consistent throughout Scripture. Even if we wouldn't have read this morning, we know that you loved us. And we know that we are to love one another and to care and to not judge falsely between one another, Lord, and to forgive one another. Lord, I ask that as we have fellowship with one another, that we would be able to practice some of those things, that we could love one another, not be in each other's way, Lord, be kind to one another, giving, good conversation, caring for one another thoroughly from the heart, as you would have us do. In Jesus' name, amen.